Yes. Three, two, one.
Good morning. Welcome to the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast. I'm MT Clark, and this little Zoom meeting is more than a Zoom meeting. It's a Bible study, and it's a little program that we
Oh,
produce.
hey.
It's called Bible Study with those guys, the Sincotties.
Those guys.
We're here
Joining
joined today. We're joined today with Arthur and Susanna Sincotti and my lovely wife Tammy Lynn Clark for a Bible study that Arthur sent to us. That's called The Shout of a King is Among Them. So
Yes,
that's what
it is.
he was
Hallelujah.
out about. We
Yes.
missed Arthur. He was busy helping with a church plant last week, and we didn't have a Bible study. So we're very happy to welcome everyone back and say good morning.
Good morning.
And
It's
good morning. Good morning. And I would like to say to those who listen to us pretty faithfully and they got in touch with us last week and said, "Where's the podcast?" And we're like,
oops.
"Oops." So we humbly apologize.
We
We
do.
kind of
And
dropped the ball a little bit on that one, but we really
it
were pretty wounded. And
feels great to be back.
but it feels good to be back. And hopefully everyone's going to find the Lord in this and
Indeed.
shout the victory.
Amen.
Shout the victory. That's the big thing that right
Yeah.
now.
Amen.
Yeah. So here we are. I don't know if you remember, we used to sing a song back at the tabernacle. I have never heard this song anywhere else, but we somehow Pastor Finn found it at the tabernacle. We cannot be cursed, for the shout of a king is among us. Remember
I
that
do
one?
remember that song. Yeah, he
Yeah.
kind of played it on. It's kind of a country western song and kind
Well,
of, yeah.
everything was
I
country
have a
western
feeling
by
that he
him.
may have made that one up himself.
I hope
That
so.
may be a Jim Finn song.
That was a great song.
I'll have to see if we can call him up and see if he can remember that and play it for us, and we'll tape
Yeah, it's rather
it.
a, this was echoing in my spirit amongst, given 2 weeks, I've had about 16 topics for Bible studies come across my brain over this time.
Oh,
But
joy.
this one really landed, and I was reminiscing
Oh,
about
now I
that
can
song.
see.
And this is kind of a unique passage of scripture. We don't engage this notion very often or very much. It's from Numbers 24 something 14. Let's see, message. Let's get back. Messages. In any event, we're gonna get to the scripture references soon enough. It's
Yep.
from Numbers 24, and let's open in prayer.
All
Father, thank you for being among us, Lord God. It's exciting.
right.
It's exciting. It stirs a shout in us, Lord God, because your presence among us is what we so earnestly crave and desire. Fellowship with you, unbridled fellowship with you, the giver of life, the lover of our souls. Lord, we honor you and praise you this morning.
Yes, Father
You
God.
are a good, good Father, and we exalt you and lift your name on high.
Yes, we do.
We're privileged to be called yours, your own, your children. And we thank you for that, Lord God, with one heart and one voice. And we gather together around your word today, seeking the truth that is so richly woven into your word, the very thing that is the bread of life for us. And I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and minds to genuinely receive from you, Lord God. And we thank you that this is your plan. And Holy Spirit, have freedom here this morning. We praise you and honor you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Shout of a king is among us.
Yes, yes,
Yes.
yes, yes, yes.
We're going to go all over the place today. As a matter of fact, I included a third page, which is really just the extended scripture references for some of the shorts that I sort of invoke. I feel as though they really need to be seen in context and
Oh,
read in their
yes.
in entirety. But I open really this morning with 2 Peter 2:9, which may seem disrelated, but let's wait and see how it all weaves in. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So the account from Numbers is the saga of Balaam, Balak and Balaam and the
Yes.
Moabites. And it actually takes up a large swath of scripture from Numbers 22 all the way to 24, and actually really ends up finding its conclusion in chapter 31. Echoes throughout the Old Testament. There's many references to this event in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Balaam is a genuine prophet, at least in the sense that he does hear from God, but he has some misguided ideas about that and what to do with it. There are some rich truths that we can draw from this passage and embrace as we walk with the Lord today. So I think it's wisdom to open really by I'm not going to start reading in Numbers 24, but I will begin with I'm going to start with 24 10. It says, then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now, therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but I,
An
in
angry.
fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. So I'm going to flip backwards here to
I
Numbers
see.
23. This is where I really wanted to be. I'm sorry, it was my bad. So
Okay.
this is the third time Balaam is attempting or is instructed by Balak to curse the children of Israel. And he said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offerings while I meet the Lord over there." And the Lord met Balaam and put words in his mouth and said, "Go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak." He came to him, and there was standing by him burnt offerings, and the princes of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" Then he took up the oracle and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strengthened like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rise like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours its prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them them at all, nor bless them at all." So Balaam answered and said to Balak, "Did I not tell you all that the Lord speaks I must do?" So there's the passage of scripture that I really want to focus on. It's Numbers 23, and we see the key verse in again. Where is that, Lord, honey? This is not the shout of the king
I think
in verse 21.
21.
I got everything underlined in there,
Right.
so it's
Well,
confusing
I
for
think,
me.
19 and 20 are something that we often quote. Is God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He will do what he will say he will do. And Jesus said, I was in my devotion yesterday, I was looking at something, and I wrote in my notes, I said, Jesus only did what God told him to do, what his father told him to do.
Exactly.
And the Holy Spirit only does what God the Father and Jesus tell him to do. There's none of this, you know, I want to do it my way. I want,
Yeah.
Jesus did say in the garden, if there's another way, take this cup from me. But then he realized, and he knew after all this time, God is faithful. So it's not my will, it's your will be done.
Yeah.
And the story with Balaam and Balak is an interesting one. People should go back and read it and check it out because it's got some humor in it. But the idea that Balaam could not curse what God had blessed
Right.
gives us hope,
Yeah. And we're gonna get there.
because so many
Yeah.
times we feel like
Yeah.
the world
That's
is cursing us, but
one of
it
the
can't.
places. That's one of the places we're definitely gonna get this morning. And so there's three points that I really want to draw out of this passage of scripture. And the first one is, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And we got this dynamic going on here that it's interesting. That verse in 1 Samuel 15:22 goes on to say, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And what Balaam was trafficking in was really called soothsaying or divination. He was hearing the word of God, but he's called elsewhere a sorcerer. So we have an interesting dynamic going on here that Balak seems to think that he can make all these sacrifices to God because he's sacrificing seven. You have to read, from chapter 22. He does this three times, sacrificing seven bulls on the high places, and really thinks he's doing all the right thing to twist God's arm and invoke this curse upon Israel, which is he's commissioned or cajoled Balaam to curse Israel. That's the whole premise here. And so he makes these sacrifices. And even today, and certainly throughout church history, there's a notion that we can play this game of attrition with God, trying to wear him down, by bringing various sorts of sacrifices. God's not called us to be nice by the world standards, but to be holy. And the only pathway to holiness is obedience. Just as Suzanne has already said, Jesus was obedient, even to the point of death. Peter repeats the injunction of Leviticus 11:14, saying, "Be holy, for I am holy." And Balaam is tempted to curse Israel for personal gain, but he's also compelled to speak the word that God commands him to speak. And Christians can sometimes do or embark on, deceptive practices in order to try to, as I said, cajole God towards their own ends. Things like fasting or extravagant giving. But God's not going to be deviated from his objective, and simple obedience is indeed far better than sacrifice. So the word of the Lord endures forever. So I know you've never done this personally, Mark, but I'm sure we're always counseling people that are really trying to play this crazy game with God,
Yeah, it's called
you know?
Catholicism. No, basically not for nothing. I mean, this is this is a problem amongst the immature in Christ. And it's pointed out that these guys obviously aren't God's people, and it's a form of animism that they think if they do the right things that they'll be able to manipulate the spirits for their personal gain. And so that's the spirit of religion that's still alive and well and throughout the world. And it's alive in some churches, basically, where if I, like you said, if I fast, I'll be able to get what I want. If If I give just the right amount of money, I'll be able to get what I want. In fact, there's some prosperity gospel preachers out there today who are telling you to pay so much money and you'll get the particular blessing or healing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
That's so it's not so uncommon, within the church. And and not to be too critical, we just do it, figuring out God is a little hard to do, and we come into a faith with certain desires and what we want, and we may not know that our desires are not exactly in line with God's desires, and so we try to get what we want. And that works all things together for good, and sometimes that's our suffering and whatnot. No one wants to suffer. So we'll try to do everything to be right with God,
Indeed.
and try to, be on his good side. But the spirit of that could be really manipulative. So
Right. Well,
gotta be careful.
like you said before, Mark, Satan is not very smart. He doesn't have any new things.
Or
He's not
creative,
very creative.
right?
He just tries the same thing over and over and over again.
Always.
And of course, in this world, sickness and fear and anxiety are his main trafficking pieces. And so, he'll do what he can. And then, I think of a family who has maybe a very, very sick child. And you'll hear the family members, try to bargain with God. I promise I'll read my Bible every day. I promise to go to church, four times a week. I promise to pray every day. I promise to stop drinking. I promise, I promise, I promise. If you'll just heal my child. So it's kind of like a bargaining thing. And then we know that's part of our human process. I know you've gone through this probably with your people, where the process of grief, where you go through these different stages until you get to a place of just saying, I just obey you, God. I'm okay. I trust you. And that's
It's
hard to get to.
not to take those other dynamics off the table. It's appropriate to fast. It's appropriate to give. It's appropriate
Sure.
to pray and to seek God. Our coach Tom Griffith, with Greater Formations, gave us a good word. I think it was last Tuesday night, about prayer. This four answers to prayer can be no, can be slow, can be grow, and can be go and flow with God. So we all want to get to go and flow, but sometimes it's slow and there's growth involved in the process. So aligning ourselves with God's will is huge. And in here, in this passage of scripture, God has already given a word. He said he's blessed Israel and he's not going to
First.
suddenly change his mind.
Right, but we have to get, God's not the only player here. The spiritual forces of darkness have power as well, and occult religions and everything else can invoke the power of demonic spirits
Yes.
to get what they want. So, what? But
Imagine
that's
that.
the dark side, and that's why Balaam is known as a prophet. He walked in the spiritual realm. He had contact from God to hear God's voice. But later in the New Testament, he's called, I forget the exact phrasing, but it's clear that he's outside of God's grace. He might have been an instrument of the enemy, I believe. I forget the scripture verse, but basically points out that there's spiritual power on the dark side as well as God's side. Now, God is sovereign over all things, and he allows these spirit beings to have power. Like I said, it's all according to his purposes, and his ways are so much higher than our ways that we can't really fathom, why he would allow that to happen. But throughout scripture, that's the thing. Satan asked to afflict Job, and God says, okay, what? But so it's not a simple, our religion, our faith is not a simple little do these principles and and God's, and the devil's a liar and can't do anything. That's literally what bears it out, and we have to have a grasp of the complexity of what we're in. But at the end of the day, we know that God is good and God is all powerful, and all things work
Yes.
for His purposes. So,
Sure. And we stand on that. And we stand on that.
I quoted Jude 1:11, which says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah."
There it is. That's the
So
verse.
that's a dynamic trio right there. So the admonition here, the takeaway, at least for this first section, is you're playing this game with God. Stop, really. Press in to obedience. Humble yourself before God. If there's genuine error or sin in your life, this is the dynamic that it typically takes. I'm going to hang on to this, okay? And I'm going to, but I'm going to do extra good. I'm going to do extra good for God, but I'm going to hang on to this thing, whatever it is, a known violation of God's word. I'm going to, because I just don't want to let it go, or it's not nice to let it go, or I don't feel like letting it go, or I don't think, God has made me this way, and I don't think I can let it go. So millions of reasons that we dovetail into the process. So you're going to hang on to this, but you're going to do extra good for God to make up for it. And that's, this is like just really not the way this works. It
And that's,
genuinely is not.
I don't mean to jump too far ahead because I'm not sure where you're. I don't review the study beforehand, but the error of Balaam, as MacArthur's commentary points out, is that basically he devised a plan for Balak, the king of Moab, to entice Israel into a compromising situation with idolatry and immorality, which would bring God's own judgment against his people. And where that eventually is, he has the Moabite women, basically tempt them, and they become intermingled with them, and thus that doesn't work out.
We're not following it out that far, but it does, at the end of this study, moving into chapter 26 of the saga, it does take an ugly turn. I'm going to talk about that at the end because it's kind of unfortunate how we can, I'm going to make a premise that we can't be cursed as Christians, but we can certainly open the door to curses. If you drink, smoke, eat bacon with every meal, and stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning doing computer games and only get like 3 hours sleep, chances are tremendous you're going to get sick. And don't, walk around saying, "I'm cursed, I'm cursed, everything bad happens to me." Just stop doing what you're doing. You're bringing things upon yourself. There are forces in the terra firma, in the natural world, and we can open ourselves up, even as believers, to spiritual forces that are extremely vexing. So it's not that God is cursing anybody. We'll see that in a few
We
minutes.
can also say that, for those of us who are trying so hard to eat well, to do things, we're not drinking and smoking, we're not doing those things we used to do. And we can still get sick. And it's not just because we're doing something wrong. It might be because we're doing something right. And Satan and his minions don't like that. Because when you stand up to do the right thing, to take care of yourself, to take care of your family, to go on, step out and go into a mission field, to step out and go into, teaching or preaching or whatever, you're going to get back pushback. You're going to get pushback from Satan. And like I said at the beginning, he doesn't have much to use. And your health is one of them. He can throw some germs on you.
And not for nothing, I mean, just in terms of those harsh realities of life, we are destined to die. We will live forever in Christ, and if he comes back before we pass from this earth, we won't see death. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I have these Pollyanna, simple, simplistic, immature ideas, but we do.
Yeah.
If I do what's right, everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that's that the little verse is in the Bible.
God helps those who help themselves, right?
And then Jesus' word says, they persecuted me, so they'll persecute you. You
Yeah.
will have trials in this
Right.
world
Yeah.
if you follow me. And so we have to recognize that.
And in
And
regards to
not
the, you know, the error of Balaam, because it's like, well, gee, Balaam seems like a nice guy. He told the guy, you know, what God was trying to say, but Balaam's heart wasn't in what he was saying. He wanted to curse Israel, and he, like MacArthur points out, he devised a plan to do so in other means, you know, basically set them up for their own failure, you know, lead them into temptation. That's good. That's as good as calling out a curse. You know.
Speaking of temptation, in our 2 Peter 2:9 passage, we see that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. This is a comforting thought. We pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. James goes on to say, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So Peter is exposing false prophecy and false teachers in this block of scripture, and destructive heresies in 2 Peter chapter 2. Balaam was, as I said, he was a true prophet in the sense that he heard from God, but as Mark just pointed out, his heart wasn't in it. His intent was to curse inventory or curse Israel with
Inventory.
false intentions and no particular affection for God's people. He meets a disastrous end in Numbers 31:8 and is killed by the sword along with the five kings of Midian. And Satan doesn't dress in a little red suit with horns, right? He comes disguised as an angel of light. So we know that there are false prophets among us. And John warns of that in his first epistle. Peter's warning of it here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we have to be careful to discern through that, to discern past the hyper-prosperity gospel or any other gospel that's not balanced and definitely not invoking the word of God. We have no shortage of cults and false teachers and false prophets in our day. But the word of God is right before us and there in front of us as the litmus test, you know, if we'll just pick it up and receive it. So that's the encouragement from that. Balaam is tempted with, you know, with riches and his own self-desire to curse Israel. But yet,
Simon the sorcerer wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't, you know, he was willing to deliver.
exactly, that's a great example.
Peter says, "Your money perish with you."
In the earlier chapter, you know, the whole episode with the donkey, the angel of the Lord withstood Balaam. You know, he stood in the way of Balaam. So, you know, God's going to have his way in the universe and in the world around us. And in spite of false prophets, Jesus says, even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. In other words, the elect aren't going to be deceived. But you might come close. Sometimes we get
Fooled.
pretty tempted and enticed by false teachers, especially if there's a need,
I'll be
you
very
know.
empty mess.
Okay. Especially if there's a pressing need in your life and the temptation is to be drawn to that, as Suzanne has already pointed out, you know, stuff happens to us. We have sickness, we have financial collapse and mishaps, and we have relational breakups, and whenever things like this happen, our tendency is to think that we're doing something wrong in some dimension, you know, And if you've thought to yourself, well, I'm not doing anything wrong in the natural, you know, I'm doing every, or at least I'm trying to do everything right, then we're elevated to look to the spiritual. And I think that's where a lot of heresies find their roots.
You know, you really point out a good point there, Arthur. I was reading Dallas Willard's Spirit of the Disciplines yesterday, and it talked about how we always, you know, ask why when great acts of evil happen. But as you pointed out, like when we have a desire or a need that comes up, Willard pointed out that you know, we have a predisposition to allow evil things to happen for our own good. You know, basically, oh, it would be expeditious to kill that guy. Thus, the Pharisees killed Jesus. Wow, he's sort of getting in the way of our what we've got going on here. And so they allow this great evil to kill the Messiah. And that happens with us. I mean, basically, you know, in terms of the policies that, you know, we have towards certain countries, not to help or not to provide, you know, to not get involved in a conflict, to allow war to happen, basically, like all these little things that are, you know, that are pragmatic, that works for us, you know, are allowing great evil to happen. And, you know, in our lives, well, I really want what I want, and I'm gonna lie, kill, steal, or cheat to get it, you know. But I'm a good
And
person.
ask one blessing.
But I'm a good
And
person.
yeah, but I'm a good, basically a good person. And
You
we'll
have your
ask.
reasons, you know, and we have all these reasons to compromise our convictions, and that's all of us, you know. And it's something we have to be really aware of. Otherwise, we slip and slide, and you know, all these. And next thing you know, there's atrocities happening.
I grew up on the fringes of a generation with the mob and the mafia and all those characters, and in Italian communities where the mafia was sort of like the undercurrent of justice, they would give huge donations to the church, you know, but they were murderous, conniving, gambling, womenizing scumbags, really. You know, they were criminals. But they'd give huge donations to the church as some righteous gesture, thinking that there was some nobility in that. But we're really dovetailing back over to our first point. But it's just another example. And that's well said, that I got to start reading Dallas Willard. I've got such a reading list these days. It's
I got a few
amazing.
objections basically, but for the most
Yeah,
part,
I've heard some, yes.
his
So,
end times scenario basically involves all of us becoming, so you know, certain members of the body of Christ being sanctified to the point that we're going to influence everyone around us and bring us all into the peaceful confines of the kingdom of God. And he
well,
doesn't,
that's exciting.
right? Except for reality sort of says what, and Revelation sort of says Christ is going to come back to judge the earth, and might be some hell to pay. But I like what he said, but scripture says something else. So,
Well,
but I
that's
think
what
there
we're
could be some sort
talking
of
about
combination of the two. Don't get me
here.
wrong, what we do is important, and that should be our mission in life, is to enter into places where we can influence and lead people to Christ.
Of
But I don't
course.
think we're going to have such a great effect on the world that we're going to flip everyone to Jesus.
Well, I'm always optimistic,
Yeah,
but
I'll do my best. I'll do my
I,
part.
you know, I grieve for the world and for people who are voluntarily, you know, taking pain and suffering upon themselves just by the folly of their thinking and their actions. And sin pleases for a season, but its end is death. Our final point here is that we cannot be cursed. And again, we read that in our Numbers passage. Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and it cannot be reversed. So there's a lot of, as we've already touched on, there's a lot of controversy surrounding this statement in Christianity, in Christian doctrine today, teachings that believers can be cursed or can't be cursed or demon possessed or not demon possessed. And I believe that the passage of scripture in Numbers 23 puts this notion very much to rest. As a born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're delivered from the power of darkness. That's Colossians 1:13. And Paul goes on to say, likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And also weave in Romans 6:11 or Galatians 3:13 that says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So, we can't be cursed in a transcendent fashion by external forces. Again, I have to put out the small disclaimer that says we can, by dabbling in certain things, we can open ourselves up to and let the enemy come rushing in with a red hot poker.
And I'm going to step in real quick, and I'm going to probably offend quite a few people. But if you are a Christian, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand the scriptures, participating in certain activities, holidays, and I'm just going to call it out, the Halloween and Day of the Dead, those are not just cute little holidays. Those are satanic pieces that will open your doors, your house, your life
Yeah, it's
to
hideous.
Satan's rule and reign in your life. If you want to dabble in that stuff, I just pray that people's eyes would be open to see how awful it really is. That it's not just a cute holiday to do dress up and go get trick or treat candy.
Yeah,
There's
horoscopes,
a real
palm reading. What we must be careful who and what we allow to speak into our lives. And of course, the only thing in person that's going to speak truth into our lives is the source of truth, is truth himself. But there are many voices out there. We spoke. I was reading a couple of weeks ago in the podcast. We talked about the book that I'm reading, Exposing the Spiritual Roots of Disease, where he says, where the writer says, Henry Wright says, where do thoughts come from? And there are three sources. Some thoughts clearly come from God, whether it be prophecy or a word or remembering scripture or things of that sort. Some thoughts come from our own capacity to imagine and observe the world around us and put things together. And some thoughts come from the enemy. And we are our spirit beings. We are a spirit. God is a spirit. And Satan is a spiritual being as well. So there's this spiritual realm where thoughts are floating around. And what we're willing to receive is very is the game changer. It's very important. I go on to say here that the compelling factor here is is based upon and grounded in the promise and the integrity of God. Now, we're not righteous in and of our own, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's Romans 10:13. God sees us as righteous through Christ's sacrifice. So we get a foreshadowing of this in Numbers 23. In verse 21, it says, "Has not he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord God is with him." Now, this is God's promise to Israel here. Indeed, if we've already engaged some stuff where, now this is Israel in the wilderness. We've already engaged some stuff where Israel's gone off the rails. We've engaged Korah's rebellion. We've had the decision of the 10 spies not to go into the land. We've had the giving of the law, Moses coming down off of Sinai, and Israel has already built themselves a golden calf. There's been rebellion in Israel, but God hasn't observed it because he made a promise to Israel. It's the integrity of his promise that stands, and it's the integrity of his promise to us that stands. I'm not living righteously before God 100%. I'm not batting a thousand here. And there are matters and issues and deep diggings that I'm being very circumspect about and bringing before God and praying Psalm 139, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, search my heart and know it. These things, we're constantly should be living a lifestyle of repentance, something that I stress often, should be circumspect of our actions, of our and our thought life as well, of our inner dialogue, right? This is huge, that inner voice. We should be very circumspect and considering just how righteous and how holy, since we're called to holiness, just how holy all that is. But my salvation isn't based on that. My relationship with Christ is sealed. Rob Reimer, in his book Soul Care, which I highly recommend, says that your value was settled at the cross. Your value was settled at the cross. Our relationship with God in Christ was settled at the cross. Wasn't settled by me sacrificing seven bulls on the high places or giving an extravagant offering or doing anything. I'm saved by grace alone. And I believe this is the premise that's being flushed out here, that God is seeing Israel as he's made a promise to Israel. And they've already gone off the rails, and they're going to go off the rails big time in the ensuing chapters, right? Because we're going to come up on, in the book of Judges, where they have like a 40-year cycle of going, and Israel drifted away from the things of God and sin.
Every man did what was right in his own eyes.
But if we read Romans 10 and 11, we see that God still has a promise for Israel, and that we are called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in a sense, we are the Israel of God in Christ. And so God's not going to change his mind, and we're not going to be cursed in the sense that by God, essentially. I'm glad you agree. We
Well,
get for
and as for those promises, it's not salvation by association. It's by faith. God knows who his children are, whether they're from the nation of Israel or us Gentiles, ones who put their faith in him through Jesus for us. For the Old Testament saints, more or less right to God, Jehovah. But it's not like, the promises in Romans 10:11. I say, yeah, all of the nation of Israel will be saved, the ones that live, because if you're not in God's kingdom, you'll be judged. And you'll be
Indeed.
judged harshly, no matter what your cultural heritage might have been. That there's neither Greek nor Scythian and all that. That the new men in Christ are a spiritual Israel. It's a spiritual Jacob that we come into, and thus all the judgments on the nation of Israel through the years. Did some faithful die with the unfaithful? God knows. Unfortunately, and we know, faithful Christians die as martyrs. So it's not so unspeakable that even the faithful would have died in some of those episodes. Who those people are, who was the faithful and who wasn't, that's for God to judge.
That's not for us
We're
to
not
judge.
the We're not the heaven police.
No.
And you
No.
know, and Paul goes on to say in Romans, to die is gain.
Right.
So we've got this narrow view of what blessing really is, don't we now?
Yeah.
I wrote that we still have a promise before us, right? And the promise is, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now there's a shout of a king that I'm looking forward to. You know, that's from 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We'll join in the shout. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us, you know, come in alignment with that shout of the king. Let us shout together and rejoice together with God over the culmination of all things. You know, we have a culmination of all things here and now, in that when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he gave us that was a shout to God with a voice of triumph right there, because we live in victory for the salvation of our souls. And you know, so now, to the extent that we walk in it, is the powerful element of choice that is set before us. There are things happening in the spiritual, and the culmination of all things is upon us and coming. Not gonna pick a day, definitely not gonna pick a day or a time or an hour, but the times we live in are pretty sketchy. And so we are like the men of Issachar, discerning the times and seeing what's going on. We don't want to be swayed by every wind of crazy doctrine that's out there. And we certainly don't want to be purveyors of crazy doctrine. And so the main point that I'm trying to draw out here today is that we can't be cursed, certainly can't be cursed by God, because he's given us a promise. And he's not a man that he should lie. And he's not feebled and fickled that he changes his mind every 20 minutes. God has given us a promise, and his promises are yea and amen towards us. And that's something that we can genuinely embrace and rejoice about and be grateful and thankful for.
Amen. Amen. I agree.
So, any closing thoughts?
I
You
just,
look like you will.
for this last couple of minutes here, I've been trying to remember a worship song that we used to sing. Basically, it would go,
Was it "You Cannot Be
"Hallelujah,
Cursed, for the Shouting of the King is
Hallelujah, we
above"?
have won the victory." You
Oh
know,
my God, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
and
We haven't seen that in a long time.
there's also some wonderful songs. You play an Israeli Israeli songs.
Robin Marx. Was it Robin Marx? I think
I'm not sure, but
no, but
every now and
oh
then
no, he
you
was
what?
Revival in, that was Revival in
No,
Belfast. Yeah.
there's one that came out of Jerusalem where they were playing, and I remember there's a song, "Shout to the Lord."
Yep.
And it's, really, there's a lot of music out there that you can pull up and enjoy, to recognize that the shout of the King is among us.
Yeah, indeed.
But as with anything, you have to make that choice to join in the shout.
Yeah.
Just sitting here, I was thinking, you have a choice of sitting in the light or sitting in the dark. You can say, "Well, how do I sit in the light?" Well, go over and turn the light switch on.
Right.
Stop sitting in the dark, knowing that there's power coming into your house, that all you have to do is flip the switch and the lights come on.
Engage with it.
And so, same thing with the Lord. You have to make a choice. I'm going to choose to accept his light and accept his word, and be obedient, like he already started the lesson today. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
You can do all these great things, but when it comes down to it, is Jesus going to say, "Come on in, I know you," or is he going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Even though you did all those great things, I never knew you, he'll say. And that's a
Right.
scary, scary thought. So we just encourage you to know God and to know Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, you read the Bible, you pray, you join a fellowship of people who also are seeking God and loving
Yes.
God
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
joining in. You
That's
don't
big.
sit around your house and say, well, it'll just come to me.
Right.
No, you need to get with people. You need to get with a discipling situation where
Yeah.
you can talk to people and you can ask questions
Yeah.
and you can seek after God. And that's how you know him. That's how you, and now he'll know you.
Yeah.
So we encourage you, our listeners, to do
He
that.
will reveal himself to
Excuse
those
me.
who diligently seek him.
Amen.
And the diligence aspect here is huge. This is a love relationship.
Yes.
And the thing that we most desire and crave after, to what extent, with what kind of passion and drive and zeal will we genuinely strive after that and seek after that? And we see great zeal in earthly ventures, right? People getting all jacked up about doing all kinds of things, becoming the CEO or getting the corner office or making
Going
the
to a football
team or
game.
whatever that next level of success happens to be. How much more to engage with the lover of our souls, with the creator of the universe, with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is, as Paul says in Athens, is not far from any of us.
Amen.
Indeed, if you're a believer in Christ, he dwells within you.
Amen.
So let him out. Let him out. Take him for a walk today. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think that was a good end. I think I'll just close this out in prayer.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord
brother.
God, Heavenly Father, thank you for being the King that shouts among us, that
Yes.
Jesus Christ is born, and that those who put their faith in him will truly live and experience your freedom. And Lord, we just thank you for bringing us all together today to hear your voice shout within us, to proclaim the truth of what your word says. And Lord, we just pray for you to go out and shout into the congregations of the saints today,
Yes.
the pastors that preach, and to the worship teams that exalt your name in song, and in the fellowship of the saints. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us today and guide us in the way we should go, and reveal to us the things that you want us to shout about. We just pray for you to be with us in the week ahead. In
Yes.
Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Speaking of the week ahead, my wife and I are going out of town for a conference. Deep
Oh.
International has a conference this week. So we'll be traveling, and we
I
won't
see.
be back until late Sunday.
Okay.
Flying in till
Oh.
late Sunday. So our Bible study will be resuming in 2 weeks, prayerfully,
Excellent.
but not two. So you'll have another an extra week to compose a
Oh,
devotion.
I get stirred. I get stirred when I have
Absolutely.
2 weeks. There's a
It'll
lot
be
flooding
good
in.
as we
I'll
remove
be
from.
attending a women's conference this weekend too, so.
Yep, Suzanne
Okay.
is at a women's conference, so.
Okay, we're getting equipped and built up in the spirit, and we'll be back
Yes.
to report on what we found in 2 weeks. So,
Hallelujah. I'm glad
part
you
of
guys are
the
getting a chance to go away together. I think that's
yes,
beautiful.
thank you. It'll be a nice
Yeah.
opportunity
Tammy Lynn's glad
for
too. I
us
see
as a
that.
married couple and as Christians. So we're very, very happy.
Yeah.
And a little overwhelmed because it'll be here before we know. Time
Yeah.
flies.
Beautiful.
Looking at the
Right.
calendar ahead, and we'll be moving, quickly into the holiday season and 2020
Right.
beyond. So we got to keep walking with the Spirit, so we don't miss anything. So for me and Arthur and Susanna and everyone, we wish everyone to have a great day and say God bless you all.
God
God
bless.
bless. Amen.